This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Hi, how are you? My name's Simon Smart and you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm talking with Justine Toe. G'day, Justine.
Hey, Simon. How are you?
Now, Breaking Dawn is part one in the new Twilight movie to hit cinemas in Australia. If you aren't familiar with this series, it's a love story between Bella, an ordinary teenage girl, and Edward, who is a teenage vampire. Teenage girls have gone nuts for this film and this series. I believe you caught the film on the weekend, Justine.
Yeah, and I'm not a teenager, actually. I did catch the film, and all I can say is by now, the series is pretty ridiculous. And for those of us who've read the novel, we can tell. But seeing it in film form really confirms it. Robert Pattinson, who plays Edward, and Christian Stewart, who plays Bella, they look like they're grinning and bearing it throughout most of the film.
It's not a huge recommendation, but what's the film about?
Well, the film opens with Bella marrying Edward, and what ends up happening on her honeymoon is that she falls pregnant to him, which isn't supposed to happen in the vampire story. And so we see a gestation period that looks like about 3 weeks or something like that, and the baby starts to grow at this alarming rate, and because it's a halfie, you know, half human, half vampire, her human body can't really sustain it or contain it, and it starts to feed on her parasitically. So Edward wants to destroy the baby because it's obviously killing Bella, but her maternal instincts kick in and she really wants to save it. Now, are your eyes glazing over, Simon?
A little bit, but I'm not sure I really understand the appeal.
Well, the film opens with the quote, childhood is the kingdom where nobody dies, which is pretty telling. I think the film, in a sense, is about never really growing up. You know, you get to be strong, vital, powerful, alive and beautiful, of course, forever. And I think that is the appeal of the vampire story. And Twilight has added some extra bits onto the vampire story. Firstly, you don't have to kill humans. You can be a vegetarian vampire, so no one is going to get harmed. And Stephanie Meyer, who's written this series, has also added the idea of romantic love, you know, finding your ideal partner and getting to live with them forever. And of course, the both of you remain just as perfect as when you first met.
So we can understand why teenage girls are mostly into Twilight because of the romance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think its appeal goes beyond teenage girls because the fundamental premises of Twilight's, you know, adaptation of the vampire story are really attractive to many of us in the West. So that's living forever, looking fantastic, never having to age, enjoying a really rich, privileged lifestyle. And, I mean, you've written articles on immortality before, Simon. The vampires of Twilight, they actually live the immortal dream.
Yeah, so let's run through what that is, that immortality term. It's a term coined by the writer Catherine Mayer. She says it's a condition where people act the same way all throughout their lives. So always living life at the same speed, doing the same things from adolescence into adulthood and beyond. Now, you've mentioned how the vampires of Twilight get to live forever and always be strong and powerful and look good to boot. This is how you see immortality playing out in Twilight, right? I think there is a connection there.
Yeah, absolutely. The vampires of Twilight are endlessly energetic. They're forever young. They've got these sex lives that never grow stale. They're beyond rich. They tick off all the life goals of the average Westerner, basically.
You know, yeah, Twilight does seem like a Western-centric phenomenon. I mean, maybe you would want to live forever if life's pretty good. I can't imagine people in war-torn countries or places where they just live lives of grinding poverty would want to live forever, unless, of course, they could escape to a better life somewhere else.
Yeah, the story is really very much a Western dream. And I find that Meyer's vampires are also the perfect vampires for our time because they're perfectly secular. Earlier versions of the vampire story have a religious dimension. Vampires are like gods damned because they've given up their immortal souls. But there's not really any mention of religion in Meyer's series.
So it's a post-Christian vampire for a post-Christian age.
Exactly right. And I think that combination of no God and plenty of money is what explains our immortal condition. I mean, it's completely true of life in the privileged West. It's true of Meyer's vampires, and it's true for us as well.
Thanks, Justine. Good to get your thoughts on that, and it saves me having to go and see the film.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.